Man is therefore caught in a certain bondage that I spoke about last time. Man is caught in the bondage that I don't suppose that the Pharisees really are that untruthful. That they say, well, you know, we don't really want to kill the prophets. And then they go ahead and do exactly that. They must have thought in their own minds when they killed those prophets that these were not prophets of God. They were incapable, apparently, of distinguishing the one from the other. So this takes me to the second point. How does it come about that people are unable to distinguish true from false? How does it come about? So one point has to do with the inability to do what is right. The other is the inability to distinguish what is right. How is it that people come to a state that we really can't tell what is true from what is false? And when we do what is wrong, we actually think that we are doing what is right. Now that is the most pitiful situation that any man can get into. When you do what is wrong and you think that you're doing what is right. That is what the Pharisees are doing here. Can it come to the day when you actually put the prophets to death, you put the servants of God to death, and you say, well, they are false prophets? Or you can say, I am doing God's service. That's what the Lord Jesus said. They will one day put you to death and say that they are serving God and putting you to death. They no longer can tell right from wrong. And here I want to narrow down the field to one practical point, is to find the root of this thing. And I find it in this strange psychology of the sinner, if I can put it like this. The psychology of the sinner is the tendency to self-justification, to justify oneself. And this, I find, is one of the most terrifying things that we could ever do. And I want today to conclude with this particular point. I have discovered that every person, there is no person I know yet, who does not have the tendency to justify himself or herself when you point out something wrong. Why did you do it in this way? Well, you see, I had to do it in this way because of this way and that. And so he had to. He was compelled by the circumstances. Why did you burn the food for dinner today? Oh, there's lots of reasons for that too. It's never to say, I'm sorry I burnt the food. Well, the reason I burnt the food was that this plate is not functioning properly. The pot is not very good. It's too thin. I got tied up on the telephone. There are 1,001 reasons why he has found the reason why he was not wrong. Why did you steal? Well, you see, I mean, the circumstances are such today that under these circumstances, we must understand that it is a very justifiable under those specific circumstances to steal. I admit that it's not always good to steal, but under my very special circumstance, and of course your circumstances are always special, and therefore you can steal. Self-justification. When Adam sins, immediately did he say, Lord, I am sorry I sinned. You did say not to eat of it, and I ate of it. Why didn't Adam just say, Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry, I am a fool. I ate of this fruit that you told me not to eat. No, he doesn't say that. My wife, you gave me a wife, and look what she did to me. I mean, if you didn't give me a wife, I wouldn't have eaten of this fruit. No, I wouldn't. But because you gave me this wife, look what happened to me. She was the one who brought me the fruit, and I ate it. I didn't want to displease her. And then so you come to Eve. Eve, what did you do? Oh, not me. No, not me. It's the serpent. That one there, the serpent. Why didn't Eve just say, Lord, I am sorry? Why not make it simple? No. The whole rationalizing coming. It's the serpent. You see, he is the one. He told me that it was okay to eat it. And he is very wise. Serpents are very wise. And therefore I accepted his word, his counsel. There we go. I wish I could see somebody when you point out something wrong, and they say, yes, I am wrong. I am wrong. That's it. Finish the matter. And I think in this respect, I'm sure that you have seen how Yara and Mavis have set a very fine example in this matter. They have made no excuses, no arguments. They have simply said, that's the case. I am wrong. And that's it. I think that's a very fine example. That's why I've said in many ways they have set before us a very fine example in this respect too. Even in defeat, to have some measure of victory. If only we can do this very thing. You tell a child, why did you do that? Oh, because it's this and because it's that, and it goes on and on and on. Would they say I'm wrong? No, it's because. reminds me of the story so typical of children. This little boy, Johnny, he always loved to pull the cat's tail. And children love to do that, pull the cat's tail and see how it screeches and yells. It's so interesting to see the cat's reaction. And so one day the mother heard Johnny in the next door, and the cat was screeching and screaming away there. And so mommy says to Johnny, "Johnny, stop pulling the cat's tail." "Oh, mommy, I'm not pulling the cat's tail. The cat is pulling its own tail. You see, mommy, I'm only standing on the cat's tail." Well, it is so typical, isn't it? It is so typical. That's of our, I know it. I mean, we, those of us who have children, you try speaking to a child, and that child never has a lack of reasons to justify its wrong action. Doing that all the time, and the grown-ups do the same thing. When you point out something wrong, "Oh, no, you are being unfair to me. You are being too harsh on me. There are 101 other reasons that you didn't take into consideration, which if you took into consideration, you would see that my action is actually not as bad as it seems." Self-justification. Now, if we keep doing this kind of thing, the end of it is terrible. We will soon not be able to tell right from wrong, because we have so accustomed our mind to justifying ourselves, to explaining the wrong as being right, that soon we won't be able to know which is right, which is wrong. We might actually convince ourselves. And I see many people who have really convinced themselves that their wrong is right. Take a recent example. You have all heard of the Yorkshire Ripper. Murdered 13 women. And you heard the incredible statement at the trial? He claims that he heard God's voice to go and kill those women. "So you see, it's not my fault. It was God." Oh, Eve passed the buck to Satan. This fellow is going to pass the buck to God. I don't know who his God is. But he says, "God spoke to me. I heard the voice of God to say I should go and kill those women, kill those prostitutes." Well, there was some mistake in there, because quite a few of the women that he killed were not prostitutes in any case. And there were at least 6 others he attempted to murder. Now, this person, as far as we can see, is not entirely insane. But it would seem to me that either he is outright lying, in which case, of course, he's a son of the devil, or else he has really so deceived himself. And there are people who have so deceived themselves that they really cannot tell black from white and white from black. They cannot tell truth from falsehood or falsehood from truth. In the book of Isaiah, there are 5 woes there, in chapter 5. 6 woes, I should say. 6 woes, rather like this chapter here in Matthew. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. That woe. Isaiah 5:20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You see, they have changed everything around. Light is darkness, darkness is light, sweet is bitter, bitter is sweet. Everything is topsy-turvy in their world. How do you come into such a state? I would like to warn you today. I would like to warn you today. The danger of self-justification. Self-justification is that which closes the path to repentance. That is exactly what the Lord Jesus said right at the beginning. You shut the door for others to enter into the kingdom of God. You neither enter in yourself nor allow others to go in. You have closed the door. When you learn this art, this deceptive art of self-justification, you are incapable of repentance. And if you are incapable of repentance, you are incapable of being saved, of receiving the mercy of God. And human beings are such that they always like to justify their own actions with some kind of thing that they think is convincing to themselves. Now, I would like to extend this searching process into our own hearts. Have we become Christians by a process of self-deception, by a process of self-justification? I need God, I need some kind of heavenly being, and therefore I will invent one in whom I can trust. Now, if you are a Christian for that kind of reason, alas, alas, that is false religion, and we don't need any of that. Man has been always famous for inventing gods. We don't need to invent any more gods. This is a dangerous, dangerous process. I have said before, and I say again, we will believe in God only if he is real, only if he is true. If he is not true, then don't believe in him. If he is false, don't believe in him. We don't want any self-justification. I am a Christian because this and that. Are the reasons for your being Christian, are those reasons, would they be able to stand up to examination? Put down your reasons sometimes for being a Christian and look at them carefully. Because we can do the right thing for the wrong reason and we end up in the wrong way. Many Christians collapse because they are Christians for the wrong reason. And sooner or later, the reason for their being a Christian will be put to the test and it will not stand the test. The same applies. There are many people who serve the Lord for the wrong reason. The intention is good. The reason is wrong. What is the reason you want to serve the Lord? Examine the foundation of it very carefully that the reasons are right. Because one day the pressures will build up and your reasons cannot hold up and they collapse under the weight. You know, we justify ourselves all the time. It's a human tendency. It's human nature to do that, as we have seen. And we have seen that what is called hypocrisy in this chapter is really nothing more or less than human nature. That is human nature to be like that. Therefore, we must be very careful. We must examine everything in the light of truth, in the light of honesty. There are people, for example, who are non-Christians and think that they have good reason for being non-Christians. Take the example, take the case of this person, the French astronomer. The French astronomer declared that I have swept the universe with my telescope and I find no God. There is justification for his not being a Christian, indeed for not believing in God at all, because he says he put his telescope there out on the universe and he looked carefully and he didn't see God. Did he see God? Well, you look through his telescope, you also can't see God. There you are, I'm satisfied. It's like the Russian astronaut. He said, I got shut up there in the Soyuz or whatever it was, Sputnik or whatever. And then he said, I looked out of the windows and I didn't see God. Oh, yes. Now I'm justified for not believing in God. And to this, the English scholar J.W. Hawley responded to this, the French astronomer, and said that his reasoning is as unreasonable as for me to say, I have taken my violin apart, I have examined each piece with my microscope, and I don't find any music there. Well, where is the difference in the reasoning? I mean, is God a piece of the universe that somehow by examining a piece of the moon rock you can find God in there? It's just about as sensible as saying that there's a piece of music in your violin. You just look at the wood, examine it under the microscope, and you can see music there. It is absurd. I mean, the reasoning is nonsensical. But many times we are very convinced with our own reasoning. And this is what I'm scared of. That our reasoning is so good that we have convinced ourselves. So here we must examine ourselves very carefully. And there is also the famous, the well-known criminal lawyer called Clarence Darrow, who also convinced himself that there was likely to be no God by this reasoning. They tell me there is a God, he said once at a debate. But I have never seen him, nor have I even touched him. I have no personal acquaintance with him. To this, his colleague replied, a colleague called Roy L. Smith replied, it is credibly reported that Mr. Darrow has a mind, but I have never seen it, nor touched it. In fact, I have no proof of its existence at all. Well, you see, this is the problem, that he was asking for trouble with the same kind of logic being returned on him. I find that here we can see that either way, we simply convince ourselves one way or the other by certain false reasonings. And I fear sometimes that as Christians too, I would like to say again, our reasons for being Christians are often not that solid. Maybe we simply want to get ourselves a little comfort. It's not a very good reason. It's something to start with, but not a very strong reason. Being a Christian, as this passage here in Matthew 23 tells us, is going to be a costly path, because the sons of the devil will always be persecuting the sons of God. That is the principle of spiritual life. And if you don't like to be persecuted, if you don't like to be under pressure, you shouldn't be a Christian. You're going to be given a hard time because people don't understand you, they don't like the way you do things, and you are going to be under pressure all the time. Therefore, understand carefully. Let us, in order to become a Christian, put away any self-justification. So long as you keep justifying yourself, you will never know what it is to be a true Christian. We must learn simply to flee under his wings. It says, how often the Lord Jesus says, I would have gathered you as a chick, as a hen gathers its chicks, and you would not. Now, notice in conclusion, simply this point, that the Lord Jesus compares Christians always to animals that have no self-defense. They have no teeth, they have no lamb. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 10, you are like lambs or sheep among wolves. Here, notice that the sons of the devil are compared to vipers, poisonous and sharp teeth, very able to take care of themselves, to defend themselves. But chicks are defenseless creatures, defenseless. They couldn't hurt anyone. The Lord Jesus deliberately shows this point to bring out this fact, that a true Christian simply does not defend himself. He does not justify himself. If you are right and I am wrong, then I don't need to defend myself if I seek to accept what is right. If you are wrong and I am right, I also don't need to defend myself, because the shepherd is the defender of the sheep. The hen defends the chicks. God defends his people. That's why the Lord Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Therefore, we don't need to justify ourselves. We don't need to defend ourselves. All we need is to learn to repent. Then we will know what it is to have eternal life, to become a child of God. Let us pray.